The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. They went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. There are times that God seems like one big, fat disappointment. It seems at times many people outside of the church will talk about the God of Christianity and say, "He doesn't want you to have any fun. He has too many rules. He's too narrow-minded." I mean, do you really believe that the entire salvation of the whole world rests upon one man, this Jesus of Nazareth, who is also, as you call, the Son of God? The entire salvation, the freedom from sin, death, and the devil, all wrapped up in the one person? Come on. Is that really the case? And at times we're sitting there looking at ourselves and saying, yeah, it does seem kind of out there. That we, even like in the context of yesterday with a memorial service, proclaimed that Christ is risen from the dead. He has come out of the tomb 3 days after dying. We just don't see people rising from the cemetery. God can seem at times to be utterly disappointing with confirming and bringing more people into this Christian faith, into this church. And whether you realize it or not, today in our reading, he's quite disappointing to those around him as well. Jesus comes into the temple teaching, and he's teaching like no other rabbi has ever taught these people. And your text there says that they were amazed, but I dug a little bit deeper in this word, and it actually says they were dismayed. They're disappointed in what they're hearing. They're not quite sure who it is that's speaking to them. This looks like Jesus of Nazareth, but these teachings are not the same teachings that we're hearing from the old rabbis over and over in the synagogue. And he sounds like he has authority. And then in the midst of church, in the midst of the synagogue, in the midst of all the nice tidiness with the Word of God and with Jesus sitting there in flesh and blood, the Word in flesh and blood, teaching these people, what happens? A man with an unclean spirit gets up and causes a big hot mess. It happens. Luther himself says that whenever the Christian church establishes itself, it builds a church, the devil himself builds a small chapel right next door to it. And the devil wants nothing more to cause disruption and dismay with all of you. The devil will use everything in this world to tempt you, to make you realize that at times these things seem like they are out of this world, that they are literally impossible to believe. He will cause us at times to have dismay and disappointment. But as Scripture says, every man, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. These people are astonished that this all happens, but Satan and the demonic realm aren't stupid. They know what they're doing. The people in the synagogue hear the demonic unclean spirit say to Jesus, "What would you have to do with us? Are you here to destroy us?" Who in our midst today could destroy demons and unclean spirits? I don't have that gift. And I dare say you don't either. But here in the midst of this church service, this synagogue with these people, this man who's a little out there, he's probably been a little out there for a while, who has this unclean spirit, confesses rightly that Jesus has all power and authority both in heaven and on earth. And he even has the ability to destroy the demonic and unclean spirits. And then they turn around and say an even more amazing thing, "You are the Holy One of God," thus fulfilling Psalm 16, Isaiah 41, and even the angel Gabriel's message to Mary that the child that you will give birth to will be the Holy One, the Son of God. If the people were dismayed, if they were discouraged, if they're sitting there confused, now it's even messier. Because this man with an unclean spirit is saying stuff that doesn't make sense to us. This man is the fulfillment of all the prophecy of the Old Testament. This man is the long-awaited Messiah. This man is God in human flesh and blood. And so, what does Jesus do? This is where it seems disappointing. It'd be nice if Jesus said, "All right, everybody sit down and let me show you something. Watch this. And if you believe what I'm going to do here, then you better believe who it is that I am." And then he casts out the unclean spirit and everybody picks him up on their shoulders and runs around town saying he truly is who he says. Actually, Jesus doesn't do that whatsoever. Mark's gospel is a little weird. If you have a red-lettered Bible, I tell this to the Tuesday night Bible class that goes through these texts beforehand, you'll notice that Mark's gospel has very few red letters in it. It's a gospel of action. And Jesus turns to this man in the midst of all of this crying out, this loud bantering about who Jesus is, and he literally says to him, "Shut up!" That loud in the Greek. That's what he tells them in the Greek. You're not asleep now, right? Yeah. "Shut up," he says to him. "Shut up, for you do not know what you are saying. Shut up, be silent, and come out of him." Why? Because Jesus does not want the people to know who he is. Huh? See, we would think that if there's some sort of proof, some sort of miraculous sign in the church that people could say, "Oh my goodness, this is absolutely amazing," that this would be a good thing. Jesus, though, no. He did not come to relieve people of unclean spirits. He came for that hour where it truly all matters, and that is the hour of the cross. And Mark's gospel is really weird because in a couple of weeks, we're going to hear about Jesus healing a leper. And then he turns around and he says to him, "See to it that you say nothing to anyone." What? Why can't I go out and spread the good news about what you did for me, Jesus? No. Chapter 3 of Mark's gospel, Jesus forbids the demons, which he drives out to make him known. Chapter 4, Jesus talks about teaching in parables so that the people who heard him would not understand him. Is it getting weird or crazy yet? Chapter 5, driving out more demons. Legion, even. A massive army of demons. Jesus makes the point for the man not to tell what Jesus did, but what the Lord God Almighty had done for him. Chapter 7, Jesus takes the deaf man away from the crowds to heal him privately. Why not put him up on a stage for thousands of people to see? And then he tells this man, "Don't say a word." Chapter 8, when Jesus heals the blind man and tells him not even to enter into his village. And finally, when Peter confesses Jesus to be the Christ, Jesus strictly charges Peter not to say a word about this to anyone. Why? Isn't driving out demons good? Isn't healing the sick great? Isn't binding up the brokenhearted fantastic? Isn't confessing the truth about Jesus Christ what we're supposed to be doing? Isn't Jesus being the Holy One of God what we're supposed to mention? Yes, but those are the wrong questions in our text today. Because being the Holy One of God at that time came with a set of expectations, and the expectations that the people had were wrong. They wanted Jesus to come and save them from all of their worldly problems. There's a place in Mark's gospel where Jesus stops asking people to be quiet, though. A place where instead he wants them to go out and spread the message to anyone who will listen. And Mark gives this powerful message three different times. What do you suppose it is? Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And Mark says very clearly, he said this very simply and plainly. See, everybody was looking for the Christ to come to reestablish the Jewish kingdom, to overthrow all of those crazy Romans who had taken over everything. They were looking for a Savior to take care of all of their problems. That best friend and bosom pal that they could walk down the streets with, hand in hand, arm in arm, and he would look at you with that wonderful Jesus-like smile that we always see in pictures. And don't we look for the same Jesus? A Jesus who needs to have the same priorities that we have. A Jesus whose biggest important issue is to fix my problems and fix them now. A Jesus who needs to do what I need to have done and to fill those needs right now. And when he doesn't do things that I ask and pray for, I'm disappointed. I'm confused. I'm perplexed, and I dare say you are too. He drove out demons, he healed the sick and the injured, but my own problems and questions and frustrations don't seem to matter. But it's not the first time Jesus has ignored requests that don't always fit with his kingdom. There were those at his cross who said, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe." And does Jesus just hop off the cross and say, "There you have it"? No. He goes to the greatest point of sin, suffering, and death to show why it is that he came. To seek out and to save that which is lost in a world of sin, of darkness, and death, and to bind us up in the wonderful news that the Son of God has come to forgive sins. The miracles, the people understanding, being declared the Holy One of Israel are fine and good, but it's all about Jesus dying on the cross. That hour of his glory where he took all of my biggest problems of sin, death, and the devil and destroyed them, and he did it for you as well. It is the cross that only matters. More important than having my life fixed, more important than meeting the bodily needs of others, more important than my immediate priorities, because on the cross, Jesus, the Son of God, died for you. And that is what this place is all about. Even if that seems disappointing. Jesus tells others to be quiet, so that you would know that there is nothing, absolutely nothing more important in this Christian faith than his death and his resurrection on your behalf. This is why Paul says, we preach nothing other than Christ Jesus and him crucified. Because it is there where Jesus has the power and authority to declare that you are saved, you are forgiven. No matter what you have done, no matter how far you've strayed, no matter how many times you have been disappointed with God, he turns around and calls you from the cross his own dear beloved child. And though the powers of hell, our sinful world, and even that sinful past rages against us, though this might seem at times in church with his word to be one big fat disappointment, no one has the authority to overturn that declaration that he says to you, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." No one has the authority to overturn what Christ has given on the cross and what he promises to you. The demon is still driven out of the man. The leper is still healed. The deaf man still hears. The blind man still sees. You and I have doctors and medication and miraculous things that still happen to us each and every day. But more importantly, he is now with you because you are loved. Loved by God. Loved through his suffering, his rejection. Loved through his death. Loved through his resurrection. And all of this he has done on your behalf, so that no matter what the problems you face in this world, no matter what pains you bear, no matter how many tears you cry over and over, no matter how broken things get, no matter what you have said and done to hurt others or yourself, no matter even if you face the grave this week, you are declared alive in Christ. And the last that I checked, that ain't disappointing. To Christ alone be all the glory now and forever. Amen. We rise and confess our holy faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.